And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's what we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. I know everybody out there in listener land is excited to talk about the coronavirus and excited for me to indulge their every paranoid bullshit rant about, you know, like illness and the government or whatever fucking like hysteria they're involved in. I don't know if that's an appropriate word or not to talk about like the mildly racist bullshit people have been spitting about where they're going to be getting the coronavirus. I am totally disinterested. I'm not going to be engaging you. You're going to have to find some other dumbass podcast to listen to talk about that nonsense. We are going to be soothing your chaotic mind with wonderful tales of punk rock glory here in New York City. So if that's something you're interested in, you're going to have a great time on this show. If you want to indulge your paranoid fantasies, I can't help you in this one. You'll have to go back to the other episodes to have your paranoid fantasies indulged. We're going to be talking to a couple of very good friends here on the podcast, people who really know how to punk rock, the most genuine DIYers with the biggest hearts and some of the best tunes out there. We're going to be talking to John and Justin from World War IX. Justin, actually, we're going to be talking about this on the episode a little bit later, but Justin was actually the very first guest on episode number one of Dispatches from the Underground. Justin and John are very good friends. I feel very honored to have known them throughout the years, and they have been incredibly gracious to me, even though I'm sure they hate almost every single one of my ideas. And they probably actually hate my sobriety too. And, you know, I don't hold that against them because I think they're wonderful human beings and incredible musicians. They're both in a band called World War IX. That's nine spelled with Roman numerals for people out there who are looking up more information about this band. World War IX, that's IX if you're not Roman numeral literate. And a great band. I've played many, many, many shows with this band. They're a New York City staple. And honest to goodness, one of the most fun times you will have in a New York City show is watching these folks play and listening to their tunes, because they just have joy from the very tippy top of their forehead to the tippy tip of their toes. I don't really know if that's a saying or not, but I feel like I might have coined it, and I get 10% of everybody who uses it in the near future. World War IX is super fun. They always have a good time, and they know how to make punk tunes, and they just fucking play exquisitely well. And they have a new singer. They have a new record. They have a new comic book telling the history of their band. And Justin is not only an amazing musician and songwriter and punk, but he also is a very talented comic creator. He's made comic books about Gigi Allen in the past. He's a huge obsessive Gigi Allen fan. I don't know why, but he is. And he has made comic books about Gigi Allen. I've actually seen them in the Museum of Death. I meant to talk to him about this and I didn't do it. Maybe I'll bring it up later. I've seen his comic books in the Museum of Death in LA. I think it was LA. They have a Gigi Allen section, and his comic books are in that museum. So he's an incredibly talented comic book creator, and he has a four-part series about the history of his relationship to punk music and his band World War IX. And his final chapter has just been released. It's brand new, hot off the presses. And we're going to be talking to Justin about the comic book. We're going to be talking about John, who hasn't even had a chance to read the comic book yet, but we're going to be talking to them about the stories in the comic book, which John obviously lived. We're going to be talking about the new record. We're going to talking to them about their new singer, who is one of the greatest human beings in the northeastern United States, a man named Johnny, who is a former singer of this great band, Citizen Blast Kane, now the singer of World War IX. And we're going to be talking to them about, you know, fun punk music. from comic books to records to shows, and how do they do it? How do they keep it so strong? You know, whether they want to keep doing it because they've been doing it a long time. I think almost 20 years. And maybe if we can just crack open their skull metaphorically and crawl inside their brain, they can sort of uplift us to understand the real spirit of punk, which I feel like World War IX and Vibes to their very core. And I love them dearly for it. And I'm very excited about this show. So we are going to be talking to World War IX about the wonderful things they do, the brand new comic book. At the end of the show, we're going to tell you where to get it. Their comic book is called Thank God It's Monday, The Story of World War IX. And you guys are going to have a great time. So I'm really excited for you to get a taste of what New York City is all about. And that's not your fucking freakish coronavirus bullshit. It's fucking punk as fuck. And at the end of today's episode, I want you to stick around. We're going to be talking about some new releases of music that we have just put out. We have a bunch of new things going out, t-shirts and ways you can support this podcast and ways to get involved. We're going to be talking about all that at the very end of the episode. So please stick around to the very end of the episode to hear all of that goody, goody, goodies as well. But before we get to all that, we're going to listen to some tunes. We're going to have a great discussion with Justin and John from the New York City punk band World War IX. Here they are. Get down. All right, before we get to the discussion with John and Justin from World War IX, I want to take a second here and I want to listen to a tune. All of the songs we're going to listen to on today's podcast are from incredible DIY bands here in New York City, bands that I go see live, bands that I enjoy the company of, bands that I enjoy the shows of, bands that I have played with before here in New York City, and bands that I admire. In fact, these are, I think all of the bands on this show also are actually bands that I have booked here in New York City. I think that that's true, although I'm sure if I'm wrong, one of the bands is going to send me a message and remind me that I haven't actually done that. But the first band we're going to listen to is a band called Witch Slap. Witch Slap is an incredible band. They've been here in New York City for a few years. I've enjoyed seeing them very much. I enjoy their tunes. I enjoy their vibe. I just think this is a great band. And also, I'll add another reason why I am excited to promote this band. Kate Hoos, who was the bass player for Cop Out, is now the drummer for this band. I adore Kate Hoos. I think she's an incredible musician. I think she's a wonderful person. She's a great organizer. She's actually now the lead organizer for Punk Island, which just, by the way, as an aside, just open submissions. So if you want to play Punk Island and you want to get your band in there, you need to email punkisland13, @gmail.com, get in, send them your music, let them know you're interested, and show them that you're a good person and not a throbbing piece of shit, and maybe and hopefully they'll get back to you, although they get a lot of submissions. But if you're in a great band, especially if you're a political band, especially if you're listening to this podcast, I strongly encourage you to send an email to punkisland13 and ask to play Punk Island. Anyway, that aside, Kate Hoos is the new drummer for this band, Witch Slap. Kate, who's an incredible person, she's the lead organizer for Punk Island now. She was the bass player for Cop Out. I've made music with Kate for years. I think she's not only a wonderful person, but a brilliant musician, and I adore her deeply, and I adore this band as well. While Kate is not on this recording, I believe Kate is not on this recording. She's pretty new as a drummer for Witch Slap. But it is a great tune, and I feel like since we're having World War IX on this show today, and World War IX is famous for having, let's say, less than sober songs. Songs about drinking libations. I feel like we should play Hungover at Church, which is the first song off of Witch Slap's most recent tunes. You can go to their Bandcamp page and check out their music. And here is Hungover at Church by Witch Slap, now featuring the wonderful Kate Hoos on drums. Check them out. Here's Witch Slap. Get down.
Wasted on a Saturday night, cause they chugged some cheap bottles off the flood of Christ. Now it's a sweaty palm Sunday, I'm not feeling so righteous. Quick, grab the paper towels, it's a crisis. Cause I'm puking in the pit. Yo, watch out for your shit. Billy, I'm about to spill. I'm puking in the pit. Sinking to my knees, give me sweet release. From consumption, culture, Christianities. Ritual madness, religious ecstasies. What the fuck is stuck in my teeth? Cause I'm puking in the pills, and flossing with your pills, and spitting out that truth. Yeah, I'm puking in the pills. How did I even end up at this place? Was there Kool-Aid's coming back. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, that shit is whack. And I know the difference between a fiction and a fact. Spirits swimming in the margin, you have to crack. Cause I'm puking in the air. You know, what's your attitude? So watch out for your shit. I'm puking in the pier. I'm puking in the pier. Yeah, hang on to your shoes. Joey, I'm about to steal. I'm puking in the pier.
What's up?
Oh my God, Joey.
Oh, no.
Thank you for having us.
What's up?
It's so nice outside.
How's
I'm so
going?
Glad I'm in the studio.
Yeah, me too.
Not outside.
It really is beautiful.
Guys,
thank you.
People listen to this all over the world. You'd be like, oh, New York, dude. Fucking had to fight three people to get here.
Yeah.
It's a fucking brutal snowstorm.
Yep.
Literally like huge like corona size flakes hitting our faces. What's going on, guys? What's new?
How you doing?
Well, what's new? I mean, we really physically, technically have new stuff.
Oh, it's true. Mm-hmm. All right, let's,
that's what's neat. We have new product.
It's actually, you guys are getting too far ahead. I just want to know, like, what's new in your lives? Lives are good? You're having fun?
We're having fun, but but I mean, so long, that's the key to life, isn't it, Joey?
I don't think it is, really. John,
Joey Steele, Mr. Fun.
No
fun.
Literally,
before this show started, John gave me a fucking 20-minute lecture about how I need to have more fun in my life. It was kind of a downer.
Right. But you know what?
No fun at
I'm
all.
Really glad you listened. And things are going to turn around for you. I suspect it.
Oh, my God.
But we all came to the conclusion that traveling for food is not fun.
No, traveling, no. Like going to long distance for
long
food.
Long distance for food is useful, especially in New York.
But I'll tell you what is fun. The way you phrase that, traveling for food.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. That was funny.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, it sounds like we're like playing a game. It's like, now you have to travel two spaces for food.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would do a food destination thing. Like if you said, I'm going to go to New Orleans for food, or I'm going to go to Nashville for food.
Oh, my God.
That I would do.
I will not wait in line for food.
Hell no. Not in New York City.
No way.
No. No.
When they say the wait is 30 minutes,
Let's go.
We're leaving. Yeah, we're leaving.
That's 90%.
Although it depends if there's a bar.
I'm going to send this episode to Mayor de Blasio to have him put it up on like the tourism page in New York City.
Yeah, that's good.
90% of the reason people come to New York City is
to
like
wait in line.
To wait in line for brunch.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. So we live in a disgusting city. Your brunch is stupid. Go home. Back to go home, fuckers.
Your brunch is stupid.
Your brunch is sick.
I like that.
All right, so listen, I'm here with the funnest people on earth.
Oh, my God.
The band World War IX. We haven't even done introductions yet. We already had like 4 minutes of fun. We didn't even say who I'm here with.
God.
I'm here with John and Justin from World War IX, New York City's resident fun band, like the funnest New York City band.
Yeah, we're pretty fun.
Yeah, and humble, too, actually.
Agreed.
But I mean, people who've been to World War IX shows in New York City know. Whether they've been to 1 or 1,000, you guys are endlessly fun.
Oh, thanks, Joey.
Wow.
I agree.
Me
I mean,
too.
Thank you.
Thank
I mean,
you, too.
I'm not exactly sure it's a compliment coming from me after Ray just got lectured by John.
Nah,
you know,
no,
if Joey says that it's fun, that actually means something.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the show because I'm
not
going
to. So take your wife to a World War IX show.
You know what? Yeah. She'd really
then,
enjoy it.
Then
take her out on the town and
marriage.
Then go out to dinner.
She's going to lecture me about that, too. But then we're going to have to get sandwich dimes. We're going to stand in line for a half hour to get a sandwich, dude.
You know, we do sandwich time now.
Oh, I know. I played with you guys recently before. Mm-hmm. I've seen Johnny's. All right, anyway, let's talk about the new shit. Let's talk about the new shit.
Okay.
Because there's so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on with World War IX? Justin was to remind people, Justin was our actual very first guest.
It's crazy.
On this show.
Yep.
Almost 10 years ago.
Phil, I think, said, "Would you want to be yes?" "Do you like talking about yourself?" "Yes."
And we wouldn't have this podcast, actually, without Justin Melkman right here.
What are you talking about?
Because you've supported us more than any other human being at times.
Oh, there was that financial support, actually.
When no one else would help us do anything.
Yeah, that was neat.
Justin helped us get the gear we needed to start doing this podcast. We couldn't even scrape enough money together to do this.
He's working on that.
Yeah.
We don't owe you any money. Everything's paid back, by the way.
Oh, my God. I'm seeing a shrink. I'm starting a new shrink tomorrow to deal with my crippling people-pleasing.
Speaking
it's
of
bad.
That, actually, we could use some more money, Justin.
Right.
Well, let me see what I got here. What
do
I have
in my pocket?
Do it
before he sees the psychiatrist.
Exactly.
It's crippling. My crippling people-pleasing addiction.
So we it's like 10 years. We've gone like full circle. We have first guest back.
Yep.
The the person who supported the show more than anything else. I'm super happy to have you guys.
Oh, man. When you put it like that,
wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys for traveling so far to get here. Appreciate sure. it.
Well, this is better than food.
I totally agree.
This fulfills my compliment, you know, like.
The quota for compliments for the day.
Compliment right. quotient for the day. Because Lord knows I didn't get any last night right. at the show.
Right. Well, part of being in a band really is.
Compliments.
About the compliments and the drink tickets.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
you wouldn't
it.
Know anything about that, Joey. But
no, but that's how they do that sometimes.
Compliments and drink tickets is why we do this rock and roll thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of bands that actually do this specifically just for drink tickets. I don't know if that's true or not true. Are you guys messing with me now or not?
No,
messing
no,
with
no we're not messing with you at all.
This is really
I did the thing for 5 years with no drink tickets and I right. still enjoyed myself.
Right.
So but Justin it was sober for 5 years.
Mm. And the worst 5 years of John's life.
Right. I was very supportive.
But you got more drink tickets. So what the fuck are you complaining about?
Totally. No, I
remember,
was going
to
say.
I begrudgingly handed them out to the other band members.
Right. There's a dearth of drink tickets now.
Yeah.
People who don't know, bands get drink tickets when they play shows. And there's a fight in every band about who's going to have those drink tickets.
No, there's no fight.
There's no fight in your
band.
I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. There's
yeah,
fights
no,
in all my bands.
Well, what's really disappointing, when I first started playing, I thought it was going to be like every show you drink for free. And I didn't realize you only get one, if you're lucky, two free yeah. drinks. I think in our career, 17 years we've been playing,
mm-hmm.
I think we've played three shows where they're like, sure, have all the beer right. you want.
And where
there was
it?
There was one show in Ronkonkoma.
And I was
this was the first one of the first times that he was saying I'm going to go sober, but this was before
this was
stuck.
my three month
and
foray.
So we're there and he is just furious and he's sitting there at the bar and they do this, they put like a lanyard around your neck, like beads.
What?
And the beads mean you can drink for free
no fucking
all
way.
Night
first of all. If you have to wear a beaded lanyard, yeah. like you should be allowed to drink all night because that's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. And so they put it on Justin's.
And he fucking ripped it off right. and whipped it back in his face. Like, get this fucking thing off.
Right.
Wow.
Yep.
Did you guys get all fucked up? I mean, I guess that's would be the thing to do. That's your song.
I don't know.
Fucked up?
I don't know. Because I was driving in the snow. It snowed that night.
Yep.
Did you guys get fucked up, John, and everybody else? Brian?
Who remembers? Who remembers these
who
things?
Who remembers? No.
After the fucking podcast.
No. Right. No, we don't. We barely party now, comparatively.
I don't believe that at all. Justin literally got here. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like a bright, sunny day. Justin's like barely opening his eyes. They're both looking for their shades. They're like oh, God,
it's
John,
all
what's
about
this
pacing.
Sunday morning
it's
shit?
All about pacing.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear. I don't give a fuck. I'm not asking for advice on how to drink. You guys should do a podcast on the woes of drinking and
no, it's called the comic book.
Oh,
right, exactly.
Yeah, and our songs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to it.
Okay.
So there was a section of sobriety and all that's. Is that covered in this?
It is. It is covered in here.
Justin and World War IX, most fun band in New York City. Incredible punk band, incredibly catchy tunes. They never play the tunes that I want to hear, but that's fine. That's fine. They don't play the songs that I like the best, but that's fine. Hollywood's amazing. You guys play it all the time. But
mark that down.
Okay.
They not only put out incredible music, but they also have a companion comic book that goes with it. Justin is a very skilled comic book
creator. I write and draw the story of the band.
And it's fantastic. And the final chapter of the comic book is now out.
Yep. It just came out this week.
Thank God it's Monday, the store, World War IX. It's a grand issue. It's double size. It's fucking magnificently drawn. It's beautiful colors.
It's the history of the band. And I wanted to do the comic right up until the end. And there's a show in here that's from like 2 months ago.
It's crazy.
So it's right up to the end. And it took me 4 years. I put out an issue a year. For 4 years. So this is the fourth installment. And I think I covered most of what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly shit talking, or is it just come on, dude. Why? I want to hear this shit talk. Right.
Like, well, I can read.
Let's talk
can,
it up, dude. Yeah,
like, I can read a couple a couple of things. One of them is a little shit talky. So here's the deal. I had to change names. You know, certain people's names are changed. but we changed the names to insult the guilty.
Okay.
Not to protect the innocent, but to insult the guilty.
Okay.
There's only like two or three assholes in this whole fucking story.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You guys are looking at me not real hard right now at this point. Yeah. And I'm getting a little bit fucking suspicious about this.
No. Nobody. If you were in the comic, you would be named, you know, your actual name.
Joey Asshole.
No.
It's totally different. It's different with Joey altogether. Do you think that more, this is a fucked up question maybe.
Hmm.
Do you feel like Justin or John, more people buy the record or more people buy the comic book? Is that a fucked up question? No, is that insulting?
Because I always thought it was interesting being, you know, the guy in the band and then seeing these things come to life in the comics.
Hmm.
I always found it really interesting. But for other people that are in bands, you know, because it's really not a lot of shit talk and it's more like, what's the inner...
It's like self-reflection.
Yeah, what's the inner... life of someone that's in a band that's not, you know, you're not going to see him on television. And what do people go through at a certain level of making music?
Yeah.
And that I always found interesting.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah. It's like probably, you know, it took a long time for me to figure out that there was a different music scene besides Madison Square Garden, right? Because you're a kid and you're like, oh, I want to see the Stones.
Yeah.
Right. And then under the Stones is like, some band that plays, you know, like Bowery Ballroom or... Mm-hmm.
Like Highline or...
Highline.
You know, Irving Plaza. Or like
Irving
Plaza.
Right, Irving Plaza.
So, like, it's either...
People don't know, these are, like, mid-sized, you know, places. Yeah,
but in my mind...
A couple thousand people and things like that, yeah.
In my mind growing up, so I saw Iggy Pop at, let's say, like, at an Irving Plaza. That was a small show. And I never went to a stadium show. I went to two or three afterwards, but, like... But then I didn't know that there was something smaller than Irving Plaza.
Yeah.
And there's something that like regular people do and they have day jobs and all that thing. So this is a comic for people that, you know, you got to like, you got your passions, but you got to have your day job and you got to keep going and whether or not you want to keep going, even after maybe it's not the most fun thing you've ever possibly done in your fucking life.
Dig at me. That's fine. It's okay. That's fine.
But that's what I thought was cool. I mean, in episode one of this and the very first comic that he did, thank God it's Monday, the story of World War IX was really about him. It was really about him.
Just being a music fanatic.
Being a kid that's into music. How do you go from it? I think anybody that's in a band at a certain level, you start off by being a kid that's insanely into music. And how does, what's the journey from that kid to playing these shows? You know, which I think being on the other side of that, it's pretty interesting. Yeah. So people really, they can relate to the comics.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, on top of the fact that it's beautifully drawn and it's witty and it's funny and like these characters are outrageous. Also, these characters are true. Like these characters are not that far from who you guys are.
Oh, no.
No,
it's cool. All
some of them.
No,
are
John, actually. John's yelling at me the whole time.
It's so unfair.
In this issue, it's
some of the characters are tamed down a little bit, I feel like. You think that's true or not true? I feel like. Like when you got Phil is like he's like a nicer person in the comic book.
There were times in a lot of the comics that I read and I was like, wow, you lowballed this.
Yeah.
Well, because here's the deal.
You know?
Well, because I'm not gonna like rip someone to shreds who they did their thing for their reason. If they want to rip me to shreds, they can do their comic book. But this is about what's going on in my brain and what I contributed to the situation that went horribly wrong.
I think that's the difference.
You're a good person, Justin.
That's the difference, right?
You're a good person, and John and I are pieces of shit.
Totally.
And we were just like, oh yeah, why were you so nice? Why'd you lowball this dude? Like,
well, you'll be happy to read this issue because there's a couple of things that are not lowballed in this issue.
But even lowballing certain situations, we've been in some really crazy situations that, you know, it's fair to lowball and say, you know, when we did, you know, when we went up and did the radio show at UConn.
Right.
University of Connecticut?
Yeah, we did early on, the two of us drove up and we you know, it said, oh, we were fueled on nothing but weak coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not how it happened.
No, we had all this trucker speed. I didn't put that in there.
No. But and then some of us drank everything in the house. We were supposed to preview the records. We were gonna go on a show and we were gonna play. We were gonna program, right? And we were all excited. But what happened was we got to our friend's house who was DJing, and she had all the records, and we started you know, hanging out, and then we started listening to the records.
And it turned into a listening party, and we got drunk. We drank everything in the house, and then
someone drank cooking wine.
Yeah.
And I won't say who it was.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
And we decided that we
at
would sleep.
At least the salt wasn't all gone. I feel like that's at least a good thing. Like,
we slept.
All the shakers of salt completely fucking gone.
Do you remember this? There was a bed, and we slept in the same bed, and we put, with our clothes on, but we put our shoes on the floor so that
we could slip into
get
and
up
go.
And put our shoes on and leave. And I got to say, we were not good that day. The next day, it was the worst radio show. We were terrible. We
I
were
was
not
sick
funny.
For like 2 weeks. I had Crohn's.
Right. It was terrible.
I got an early version of coronavirus.
Right. That's funny.
Right.
From the cooking one.
So that stuff didn't really make it into the comic. But that's like a lowball too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But Justin, you're a good person, and even like when we're not is singing songs and like playing, and you guys are singing about like not heavy stuff, but like potentially traumatizing to other people.
Sure,
true.
If they had gone through the things you guys had gone through, you know, challenging issues in life, dealing with chemical dependency, and perhaps like maybe not the best relationships at times with different people.
Sure,
and you guys never have a frown. It's never like uncomfortable. It's never weird or you know, or a downer. It's always like, yo, these things, they felt weird and funny and they're silly, you know.
That's why we make the comic.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I want to read from this. This is it's weird that we're talking about this shit talking thing because this is pretty straight up.
Yeah,
so
it's so weird on Dispatch. What page?
Page 7.
Okay.
Right. This is from the upcoming audiobook Justin is putting together.
Oh, yeah, this is great. This is brought to you by Audible, everybody. Send a message to Audible letting them know how much you love Dispatches. That's great.
Yes.
And the comic.
So we're on our second singer, and he professed that he was gonna come out and like blow everyone's mind, right?
Okay,
so
let's name names here because this is a podcast. Okay,
Milt
is the second singer.
Milt is our second singer,
and he's saying that he's gonna be the best singer in the world.
Right. So what he says, and I'll read it. This is his talking bubble. He goes, "Here's how I'm going to open the show. I'm just going to point to each member of the crowd and say, fuck you. I'm going to say, fuck you to him. I'm going to say, fuck you to her. I'm going to say, fuck you to every single person in the room." So now the reality is he said exactly that, and I have a fucking heart attack. I'm like, dude.
The people pleasing.
Dude, don't alienate people your first show. Okay, so then he comes out and blows it, right?
So he said it, and then he did it.
No, he didn't do it. I'll continue.
Okay.
So, I was not pleased with Milt's plan for his debut. We'd already fallen out of favor with a chunk of our crowd for ousting Rolf, our first singer. And now Milt wanted to alienate us even further? Okay, so, we asked him to reconsider his plan, and even though he agreed, what we got instead may have been worse. Okay. Milt had completely lost his nerve. Not only were there no cries of fuck you, there was no nothing.
Oh my God.
He sang the songs with zero energy and lacked even a pinch of charisma. Okay, so now you see what I'm saying? Like this issue is a little more harsh.
This is that's some shit talking for sure. I love it. I am enthralled.
Okay, so I'm just going to read one more.
Yeah, please.
One more page.
Is it the same story, the same situation we're dealing with? Okay.
Yeah. It took a few days to mentally recover from Milt's lame performance, but when John and I finally did touch base about the gig, it was not good. John was livid and I was crushed. We'd bet the farm on this show and, well, we lost. Okay, so now John's yelling. Holy crap! What was that? Milt was just standing there.
I could see John saying that.
He could have been reading the freaking paper. And here's me. I know. I didn't see this coming. What are we going to do? We can't go backwards now. We were both working under the assumption that Rolf, our first singer, was poised to unleash his new killer band, and that he would be wiping the floor with us. Obviously, we didn't want to fall on our faces, but that's exactly what we did.
Oh man, that's pretty good. That's pretty riveting, Justin. Mm-hmm. And these images are just fucking epic, dude. There's
a hellscape in a lot of this issue.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a nod to some tentacle porn, which is not it's not
hey,
explicit.
That's what you see.
That's you, baby.
That's you. That's what you're into.
No, it's really good. It's really good. I love the blowing
but
up the earth above John's head on this one.
I think it goes with the. I mean, I'm also a fan of comic books in general, what I like about this is that there is such an aspect of humiliation that sort of goes through, you know, being in a band, Like, no. You know, listen, there's some great things. I know you don't know what we're talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
There's some amazing things about being in a band. There's so many amazing things. But the ritual humiliation of dealing with these things, I think a lot of people don't know that.
We're all just...
Last night, I fucking lug all this shit to the gig.
It's
right?
All the psychology. He's just constantly making me feel the worst about myself.
Right. Everyone's yelling, what's wrong with the gear? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? Then we finally play, and it sucked. And I was terrible. I couldn't get my guitar in tune. But yet, we get to wake up and... make fun of it on Joey Steele's Dispatches from the Underground.
Right. I mean, come on. You're up, you're down, you're
humiliation.
Out.
People don't know this, especially for, I don't know how bands are getting things handed to them in this world, but they're getting things handed to them. And I'm sure they feel nothing but gold. You know, they feel great all the time.
Right.
Who knows?
But the humiliation for, like, people who are just slugging away at it, you know, and I wasn't trained as a musician. Like, I didn't go to music school. I don't know if you guys, fuck you, John. Yeah, the fucking look on this fucking, that's it. Fucking podcast is over.
Right,
get
that's
the fuck
it.
Out of the studio. Really, Joey? You didn't go to music school? What a shock. Wow, that is fucking epic. We were like, you heard here first. It's incredible. All right, I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about.
About now. Humiliation.
No, they-
As usual. What else are we talking about?
No kidding.
Traveling for food?
Waiting in line for brunch?
Great at podcast interviewing either. Thanks for bringing that up, Justin. But humiliation is
it's
endless.
It's the fuel.
Yeah. I don't know. Yep. Is it the fuel?
Oh, definitely.
No, I don't know.
Listen,
is it for
that,
you?
That, to me, like to have...
The slaughter of Rolf is like important?
To have a chip on your shoulder, right? I mean, to have people... Before this scene takes place in the comic, mm-hmm. we'd gone out and we were like, oh, all right, this will be great, and we'll look for a new singer. And the shit that we got,
people were mad
from people. I mean, I guess it was cool because it meant that people were into the band.
Yeah, for sure.
But they were not. They were like, how could you have done this?
And what have people, you done to
what
me?
Have you do, right.
What have you done to me?
Right. And wow. and you
where
know you lose. You, right.
Motherfuckers.
Fuck that, right.
A couple of them were at the show last night.
Oh, yeah, nice. Okay. I showed them, dude.
No, I didn't.
I did not.
No, the humiliation is real. I mean, this is kind of a nice one because you can blame all of that humiliation on one individual, and that's kind of nice, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, though, and this is kind of pointed to in the comic. We rushed it, right? Mm. We rushed it when we got our second singer because we did feel, I just said this in the comic, but we felt like we were up against the clock because we got rid of our first singer, and he told us that he was going to start a new, better band. And, you know, that was pretty unsettling.
Yeah. He said those words to you? He's like, I'm going to start a new,
God.
Better band?
He didn't just say it to us. He said, and the reason, by the way, I feel comfortable saying all these things is because both of these dudes publicly went after us. Mm. Okay? So
wait till I'm done with this interview.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you.
they publicly went after us. Yeah. They told our friends lies about us.
Wow.
And so... We maintain radio silence, but the comic is the
it was the early
version.
What was interesting is
the thing is you don't exaggerate things either. So like I bet you this is pretty close to total truth of like actually what happened.
Oh yeah,
he's using a lot of actual quotes from online.
Yeah, so you know that speaks volumes too because it's like not exaggerated. It's like you know it's not hyperbolic. It's like you know.
But this was
reality.
It was sort of an interesting thing in being in a band in the internet age, right? It was some of the first times that there was real this kind of. The sort of internet warrior stuff, where people are pissed off.
Justin, thank you.
Right, people are pissed off, and they're using. At first, it was sort of like email, and then it was social media to, you know, air
publicly
their,
harass.
To air their grievances, and
not
it was sort of a
air,
new thing
because they're not true. They're just like they're fucking you know the gaslighting the shit. That's like bullshit. It's not true. Even you know, it's like they're making themselves feel better about it.
And it's weird because. I was kicked out of a band like right around the time we kicked Milt out, right?
And did you feel terrible?
I didn't. Yeah. It was a terrible feeling,
yeah.
But I understood.
It was understandable.
Why did they kick you out?
My guitar playing.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm not kidding.
What?
Yeah, I was in Bikini Car Wash, and the dude that started the band, the two people that started the band, one of the people, he's a good friend, and he was like, it's either him or me.
Wow.
And it's like,
what the fuck?
He's like, I don't like the way he plays. He doesn't know grace notes. And I was like, I'm out. I'm cool because like I was having a hard time. I have a hard time playing songs that I don't write.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
totally I'm fucking stupid that way.
No.
Oh, come on, Justin.
No.
It's all right. It's all right.
Does anybody have a beer? No. So, but it's funny because like I didn't even realize I was kicked out of the band. I'm walking down the street and I'm like, I think I was just kicked out of this band. And so then we kick, and I didn't say I'm still friends with all these people. I'm seeing people from Bikini Car Wash tonight.
Yeah.
But like you know, you don't get kicked out of a band because you're awesome, right? Yeah. So, like, I got kicked out because they didn't, my guitar playing didn't gel. And so, like, you know.
Nobody wants to hear your services are no longer required.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody wants to hear that. But it's about how people manage it.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of experiences where
it's managed poorly by
others. Well, you guys have been through a number of singers. So there's Milt, there's Rolf. After, right? That's the
it's
one.
It's Rolf
that's right.
And then Milt.
Rolf and Milt. I'm sorry. Right. And then
next, Phil.
And then Phil, the old co-host of this show,
yep.
Dear friend of the podcast, dear friend of all of us, we've known him forever. We're all at his wedding, like not terribly.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Ago.
Yeah.
Phil was a singer for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very productive period.
Yes.
Very like, well, that's when I kind of got sober. I could read one more quick section.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So this is about that. Real quick. Okay.
What page are we on? I'm going to pull it along, Justin. I want to look at the pictures while we
okay,
think.
So this is
everyone who
page 22.
Is listening in and to this audiobook and not seeing the pictures, we'll tell you where you can get a copy of this at the end of the podcast,
yes.
And you can order your copy.
Okay.
Oh, wow. This is beautiful.
Thanks.
This is really nice.
So I couldn't handle drawing another picture of fucking five dudes on stage holding guitars. So I was trying to figure out how to draw... being on the crazy wacky world of being on tour.
Can you describe what we're looking at here? Because I think that would be better because Justin's going to put his spin on it and I'm going to tell you.
Sure.
What I
and
see.
This looks like some sort of. This is the first time I'm really seeing this comic.
Yeah, it's brand new. This is brand spanking new.
And this is
John
sort of a wavy it. Sort of. It looks kind of like a Doctor Strange type of psychedelic landscape in space with these sort of in the shot in the beer who are the logo have space helmets on and they're kind of floating around and the band is in what looks like some sort of a plane. / giant frying pan.
Oh, yes. yes.
And I think that
and
sums
it
up. And
they're in space.
And they're kind of in
space.
In
yeah.
some sort of negative zone.
Yeah, we're in a negative zone, even though everything's positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right, so here we go real quick. Aside from the many personally positive things that my foray into sobriety gave me, the band was able to realize some of our more ambitious touring aspirations. Every summer for the next 5 years, we were able to take a couple of weeks and tear across this absurd country of ours, melting faces and making friends. We played big cities and tiny towns, giant rock clubs and backyard barbecues. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want a beer at almost every show, but holy smokes, did we have a good time? So that's there's a whole comic about touring sober.
You could feel the palpable honesty there too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another part why these comic books are so enjoyable to read because it's not sugarcoating anything or mean-spirited. It's just like the honest truth.
You like honest truth, right, Joey?
That's your whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I also like exaggerated mocking too. So either way you want to go with that, it feels good to me. but yeah, this is beautiful, and I mean that this is when Phil was in the band. You were sober, which you no longer are.
True.
Can we say that or should I not say that?
I don't
that?
Care.
Yeah. Okay.
I got nothing to hide.
We like the truth.
Yeah.
And you're happier now.
I'm having more fun. I'm happier.
We said this before the podcast started, you look genuinely more relaxed. Like this is Justin's like spot. This is like
this chair.
No, I don't think this chair is, but like, you know, you're like, this is your state, like your condition. Like you're not you're not fucked up right now. But I'm just saying, like, you know, you are back to being who you want to be.
Yeah, yeah. It was an experiment in self-reflection for 5 years. Mm-hmm.
Part of what we've always talked about, you know, in the band and all the subject matter, again, it's they're all... it's sort of a cautionary tale about balance, right? That people can party and stuff like that. But you've achieved some balance, I think, sort of.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, let's take a break now and get unbalanced. Let's take a break and listen to a not cautionary tale or a cautionary tale from World War IX's new 10-inch.
Yeah, that'll lead nicely into our new current awesome lineup.
Yep. Sick. So which song do you want to listen to? What song do you want to listen to?
Going to do Fired for Partying?
Fired for Partying.
Fired for Partying. Perfect. That couldn't be any more cautionary than that. That's great.
There you
go. So here is Fired for Partying. Fired for Partying. Did I say it right?
You did.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh my God, I should not be a host of a podcast. I should be doing something else. I should have fired myself for not even partying. I'm a fucking mess. By World War IX. Get down.
Never ever.
Oh yeah, this life is so exciting with Joey Steele. Hey, you know, put that on your tombstones, everybody.
Yep, life is so exciting with Joey Steele.
Joey Steele and death too. Oh fuck! All right. We're not going to talk about. We're going to cut all that out. Don't worry.
All right.
Let's talk about what's going on right now with World War IX, because we in the last segment we talked about in the comic book, Rolf and Milton, and then things moving to Phil.
Yep.
And
yep.
Phil gave Phil's... up on punk music and had children. You know,
well, he didn't give up.
No judgment on our side. Did that come through as judgy?
Oh no.
Phil's exodus was very different. Phil was starting a family and moving out of New York City, and he chose to stop playing music.
Mm-hmm.
So,
with his lovely, lovely, wonderful wife, Erin.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah.
And they live in Indiana now, I think.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we decided.
Well, it was, we'd been together for a long time, and you being in a band, you go through a lot of these changes, and there was a real discussion, you remember?
Yeah.
It was sort of like, look, are we going to do this or not?
Yeah.
Like, should this be over?
Should you finish with Phil? Like,
right.
Was Phil the end of the war?
Right, right. We should say, are we going to put a bow on this?
Yeah.
Or are we going to keep, like, making records, keep playing shows, keep making comic books, all this stuff.
Can I ask a controversial question in the middle?
Sure,
of
sure.
Was Earl and Moose, who are also playing guitar
right.
with you, Justin.
Lead, yeah.
Were they in World War IX at the time Phil left?
Moose was, yeah.
And Earl.
And
yeah.
Earl, too.
It was it was sort of becoming like a collective.
Yeah.
We talked to everybody in the band. We talked to Brian on bass. We talked to Moose. We talked to Earl. And it was like, all right, are we going to keep doing this?
Right.
If we get a new singer. And they all said yes, well, so long as it was the right person.
Right. And the funniest thing was Brian, who was really the mellowest, quietest guy, he was the one that was like, yo, we're going to keep doing this.
Oh, nice.
Like, he was really, you know, that we were like, okay.
Yeah, that guy loves drink tickets.
Right.
No, that's not true. Brian's an incredible bass player, and he fucking loves World War IX.
He's the best.
Yeah. You know, he could be in other bands too. You know, people.
He's Wombat and Combat's back together.
And you know, I'm sure like they, I'm sure they never really wanted to stop playing music, but you know, he wasn't obviously pushing that direction. But like, obviously, he wanted World War IX to fucking make it happen.
Right. So there was one guy, but we said, look, and this is weird because we were saying, okay, how are we going to do this? And it's different. We weren't used to like doing it not under having threats. You know, people threatening us from the sidelines, trying to like get a new singer.
Yeah.
And you know, Phil was really cool about it, and we said, "All right, well, how are we going to do this?" There's one guy that we really, really wanted, which was Johnny from Citizen Blast Kane, because he had filmed a lot of our videos, and he just
played a lot of shows together.
Yeah.
And
my bands and Johnny's band, old band, Citizen Blast Kane.
Yeah, I mean, between his like stage, between his antics on stage and his voice. And the songwriting, like, this guy's the real deal. He's the whole amazing package. Yeah, triple threat.
Right, and what was interesting, I don't know if you, like, there were a couple people, singers of other bands, which really surprised me,
yeah,
that were interested.
Oh,
they were
really?
Like, yeah, and I was like, wow. So it...
Lobbying to get in.
It was very interesting.
Wow.
So to us, it was kind of...
I'm not surprised that they wouldn't want to, but I'm just, like, shocked that they would, like... I was just like surprised. Like it's your choice to figure out who you want. Like the fact that they would lobby
themselves.
Well,
and it wasn't a hardcore thing, but it was very
totally cool. Yeah. But I'm shocked that they would like take that like put themselves forward. Like that's kind of an insult. That's a little bit insulting to you, I think.
No,
it was nice.
What's the word? Initiative.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. They were just and it was done in a very low key.
Justin
way.
Said that like a fucking straight up mobster. He's like, yeah, take a little initiative, Joey. You fucking look. Why don't you look and take a little initiative?
So
bro.
It was really cool. And then Johnny came in and we talked to him and he thought that we wanted to shoot another video.
Yeah.
And we were like, no, listen. What do you think about doing this?
Listen to this.
And he's been amazing. Yeah. And his, you know, his songwriting.
We haven't played that many. He's only been in the band for 1 year, and we've played probably roughly 12 shows. Mm. We play, you know,
I think we play more than that.
You don't think, or you do think?
I do.
Okay.
Are we fighting?
No.
Are we arguing?
It's fucking bullshit that this show is not on YouTube because Justin's looks are fucking perfect down here. And John and Justin are like sitting in a position they can't exactly see each other's face, but Justin's like illuminated by the light perfectly, and he just like turns his head ever so slightly of like, well, John is very wrong about this, and that's fine if he thinks that way, but that's, yeah, this is still a fucking radio show, Justin. You gotta say the shit out loud.
Come on, man.
I don't know, what is it, 5 shows we've done with Johnny?
three or four.
I think Citizen Blast Kane was one of the best bands.
Yes,
100%.
Was unquestionably to me one of the most underrated bands in New York City.
Yeah.
Was unquestionably one of the most entertaining bands to ever watch in New York City. Outrageous, hilarious, enjoyable. I always had a blast. Right. And we begged them to play shows and they would almost always say no because they were just so busy doing other things. But it was great that we got to play with some. And I'm so happy that he's playing with you guys.
And let me tell you, he's in Jersey. And he brought us out to his neck of the woods, which is the last page of the comic.
Right.
And oh my God, what
awesome.
A fucking zoo. It was so great.
Yeah. It's great when
all of his friends came out, they all repped, and then we had a party back at his house. Right. Like, this is why we do it.
Right. Yeah. It's like the first, like being in, you know, it's the first times you ever played, and then everything cycles back around. You're playing another amazing show. It's worth all the humiliations. It really is.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
That and the drink tickets.
I don't know if that's true, John, but let's like leave something positive
right,
for some of us.
No,
the kids, you know, it's worth all the all the constant humiliation. Right. It's worth it for all the great friends.
Yeah, I mean, aside from the joke of it being drink tickets and compliments, like I don't know necessarily why we keep doing it, but the rocking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's no joke. Like getting that. The fact that you and your friends get to make this music that you would dance to or that you would buy the records, it's contagious and it's an addiction and I don't know if I'll ever stop. Hopefully not.
I think a lot of folks out there too, a lot of people who listen to the podcast and I've met in the country, they talk about community and they talk about, you know, their punk communities. But, you know, New York City is a very difficult city to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is very disjointed in a way because, you know, living in the city costs so much money. Every life is really fast. Things move really quickly. It can be overwhelming all the time. But World War IX and, you know, a few other, there's other bands and other scenes in the city, but World War IX has always had a community here in New York City, and it's felt, you feel it at every show. You know, it's warm. It's not, it's genuine. It's not, you know, it doesn't feel like
mean-spirited.
Mean-spirited or fake. Like, it's a genuine, honest punk scene and a good community. And people talk about, like, you know, having a punk community. And World War IX, I think, does it as good as anybody else. And you can feel it at every show. So, like, I think we talk about friends, but really it is community building too. Even it might not be political or like, you know, radical or something like that. Like, that's not an interest, but it's like very seriously community building, and connections are very, very deep, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the bonds you guys have with each other are obvious, but also everybody in the fucking crowd, you know, like, you know, that's why the shows are so much fun.
Yeah, Moosehead's birthday just a couple weeks ago. That was nuts.
Right. It should be a national holiday.
Yeah.
Mike Moosehead is one of the most like accomplished musicians in New York City. He's in every fucking band. I think I'm in three or four bands with him.
Yeah,
I'm not
right.
even sure. He's toured the world with me, and he just puts out music constantly. Incredible guitar player, bass player, some great band Scum City here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just has birthday, and you guys are playing with
every band he played with.
Yeah. Yeah, he played in every band.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
and that was only the tip of the iceberg,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
there should have been 10 more bands.
Yeah.
It speaks to, I think, that, you know, what are your goals, right? And for us, since, I think, you know, we've been working together for many years, and since we were both kids, all we ever really wanted to do, so I want to be in a New York City punk band, right? I don't have any other sort of big aspirations other than that.
And we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good, yeah. And the fucking tunes are original and interesting and fun. And on top of that, I mean, I'm not sure if you did have aspirations to community organize, but like, you've done it. You've have this community of wonderful people that you've connected with, and music that you probably wouldn't have met otherwise. Like, you think you would have like ran into these people at shows, you know, Irving Plaza? Probably
it's
not.
It's different. It's different when you're playing a show than when you're going to a show.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to run for president.
Right. Oh yeah, Justin.
The community
right. I like
building.
This. Well, you know,
oh,
but you know what
Justin,
it's
don't
like.
Give me shit. This is right. what I'm saying.
No,
like,
no,
I'm not talking politics.
Because
here.
Putting things together, you know, when you're putting a show together with your friends,
yeah,
right. There's a community piece to that,
yeah.
In making sure. I was explaining this to a friend of mine.
Like
plays
you,
in,
get me a
right,
beer.
Yeah,
and
come
I get
on.
You a beer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a friend of mine plays in sort of a completely different kind of band. He comes to this punk show, and he's not used to seeing four bands a night. Like, it's usually just one band that plays for 2 hours.
Right.
And I said, look, if you're with your friends, people that are in your community, everybody's going to play. Everybody knows exactly how long they have to play and how fast they have to get off the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Because nobody wants to screw anybody over.
Exactly.
Right. And that's, you know, you want the night to run well. And that is, you know, real community.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about Johnny for a little bit, because Johnny is the new singer,
right?
And so, how do you feel like is the show different from when Phil was in it? Like, do you feel like there's a different flow
Phil.
To the set? Fuck you. Phil was your old singer.
Oh yeah.
You can't
just
keep
kidding, Phil.
You can't keep track of him with all these singers that go on in this comic book. But Phil was one of the old singers. Do you feel like it's different? Like, do you feel like there's a different vibe, or there's a different feel, or like, or is writing different? Like, or
his writing's different.
Yeah.
Not every song is about drinking. Now there's songs about food, about eating. So that's exciting.
He diversified the portfolio
yes.
by including not just beverages, but also different things you can take into your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's, I don't know. It's different. It's hard for me to say how different it is, because we are playing the same songs, but Johnny's bringing new songs in, and I don't know. So it's definitely got more of a punk rock vibe. Okay. There was a bit more of a rock vibe, towards the end with Phil.
Yeah. That sounds
more
right.
MC5 ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were doing more like rock and roll, and you know,
nothing wrong with that.
What's better than rock and roll punk?
Yeah.
You know, it's. But anyway,
well,
so Johnny
sense,
Johnny
sure.
brings a little bit more of the classic, original, like punk rock, Dead Kennedys thing back in.
For sure.
Right. And he's hilarious.
Hilarious.
I mean, his whole persona is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it fits really well. He was the, you know, he was the one guy that we said, all right, this is the guy we want.
Do you think that you would not have kept going if you didn't get Johnny to be the singer?
Well, we don't. That's a good question. I have no idea. I don't know. And like, I don't want to spoil the end of the comic, but that question is answered in the end of the comic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to answer it with no, you would not have kept going. I have not read the comic.
Well, we were bouncing that around a couple of other ideas if he said no. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, he said yes.
Yeah.
Right. There's a blend of, you know, taking things seriously but being funny.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do. I mean, yeah, it's hard to pull off.
Right. So is practicing.
Yeah, that's really hard.
Good Lord. Can we practice next Sunday?
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Please.
All right. So, World War IX, what's you know, we got a couple minutes left here. Like, what's the future? You know, we know what the past is. We've seen on the comic book. The last chapter's out. And the new record is out. What's the future hold?
I want to go back on tour. We haven't toured in 2 summers.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Where do you guys want to go? And can I invite myself?
Yes.
It's
fun.
Yo, let's fucking go.
I want to go back to Charleston, North Carolina. What's it, Charleston?
Is that in North Carolina?
There's a lot of Charlestons. It could be another one.
No, what's the place we played the Milestone?
It's Charlotte.
Charlotte. God damn it.
It's fine. Charleston. We'll edit that out. Dude, people don't even know the names of their fucking hometowns.
There's a lot of places. We haven't been. Cool. Why are we going to go to the place we've already been?
No.
Because they have our t-shirts. And because they know the songs. You've been on many tours.
Going back to a place that you don't live in where you get to sing songs to people who also love your band and they sing them back to you. You're like, wow, what the fuck is happening here? That's great.
And they buy your merch.
You guys are right.
Yeah. But where do you want to go, John? Where do you want to go?
Anywhere. Whatever Justin says, it's fine.
Well, all kidding aside, I would like to go to Europe. I've never done that.
Oh, yeah.
That's bucket list shit right there.
Okay, man.
Yeah, and I know people. I know people
side-eyed by him.
People that don't like touring, and I know people that don't enjoy themselves on tour.
Oh,
we always have fun. It's not just. I mean, to use the term "work" is a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the best vacation in the world.
Oh, man. I think we should look. I know I wasn't invited on these tours. That was explicitly not mentioned. And I believe there were some comments earlier about how not fun I am. That's possible,
too.
Oh,
my goodness.
But I think we should go do some shit. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yes.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, let's fucking do this shit.
Okay. F-U-N.
What'd you call me?
F-U-N.
F-U too, John.
Come on, man.
Where can people get the comic? Where can people get the record?
Everything is on our Bandcamp page. So World War IX Bandcamp.
One word, World War IX, as in the Roman numerals, you fucking people out there who have no idea what the hell IX is.
World War IX.
Yeah, that's the Roman numeral for 9, you jackasses.
On the Bandcamp page. And
you can get the new record, you can get...
New record, all the comics. You can get old CDs there, too. I mean, we have a couple 7-inches, but this is our first LP. This isn't an LP, it's an EP. It's a 10-inch. Which is very collectible.
Yeah, no, that's
great.
And it's like, I think it's fiscally the responsible thing to do as well, actually.
$5, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything's there on our Bandcamp page. And digital downloads, too.
And we're going to see you soon on tour together.
That
sounds great.
Yeah.
That would be super fun.
Fun.
World War IX, everybody, not their brand new singer, Johnny from some Citizen Blast Game. Is Johnny still do Citizen Blast Game? They don't even exist anymore. Mm-mm. So fuck that band, too, then. So, by the way, fuck that band.
But we get to do Sandwich Time, which is all
that
classic. We should. I'll try to play that right now. You guys have that recorded?
Oh, shit. No, we didn't record it.
Why would you not record that song?
That's a long story.
Long story.
Oh, really?
It's going to go in the
it'll be the next
epilogue,
comic.
The addendum comic.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I'm not doing any more comics except for the next one.
All right. World War IX. Thank you guys for coming
out.
Thanks
for having
us.
Thank you guys. Get down. All right, we talked about Johnny from World War IX a little bit on this episode. Obviously, Johnny is a new singer for World War IX, but Johnny was in another band called Citizen Blast Kane back in the day. I don't think they're making music anymore, which is a huge shame because Citizen Blast Kane was absolutely, unquestionably one of the most underrated Northeast bands from the Northeast of the United States in a long, long time. I fucking loved playing with this band. I loved seeing this band. They were a fucking blast, and I don't just mean that in the punniest sense. They were a fucking fucking blast. They have a fucking just a good time. And they sang about movies, which is what I fucking really dig in a lot of tunes. So here is not all their songs about movies, because this one is about eating sandwiches and getting sandwiches from the deli. And ironically, you know, we talked a little bit about like standing in line at the beginning of the episode. We talked about like refusing to stand in line to get food. And I feel like now here at the end of the episode, we're bringing it back to that. We didn't intend to do it, but now we're bringing it back to that issue of standing in line for food by playing this wonderful tune about standing in line for food. This is Sandwich Time by Citizen Blast Kane. I think World War IX, by the way, does now cover this tune. It's brilliant. I hope you didn't have anything planned for the rest of your day today, because you're going to be singing this song in your head for fucking ever. You're never going to get it out of your head, because it's Sandwich. It's Sandwich Time by Citizen Blast Kane. Get down.
Momo, that's fast, parties are queer. It takes me forever just to order one beer. Go in a way, don't act like you don't know it. We're waiting 3 hours to ride one roller coaster. It's sandwich, sandwich time. It's sandwich, sandwich time. Bomb and pie, just the price we pay. Tony listens to Christmas music every day. Take it out my face, eating my sandwich. Traveling everywhere, it's just too much. Sandwich, it's sandwich. Sandwich time, it's sandwich. Sandwich time, it's sandwich. Sandwich time, too many people in my deli line. There's only two things that you need to know. You're a big person, mongoose, cobra or guy. The mongoose is your friend, so prepare to die. There's too many people in my deli line. It's sandwich, sandwich time, it's sandwich. Sandwich time, it's sandwich. Sandwich time, there's too many people in my deli.
All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to Justin and John for coming all the way out here to do this episode with me. I really appreciate it. I also want to say thank you to the rest of World War IX, Johnny, Moose, Brian, Earl, everybody in the band for allowing Justin and John to speak for you, or for you being too lazy to come out here because we only have so many mics anyway. So thank you very much. I appreciate all the wonderful music these guys make. I appreciate their perspective. And even though we might disagree on a myriad of political issues, here's one thing that is genuinely true. These are very good, wonderful people who deeply care not only about punk music, but punk community. And when a lot of people talk about building community, these guys have been neck deep in building it and maintaining it and looking out for people around them and younger folks, including me at times, and being supportive. And I have deeply appreciated and benefited from their friendship and kindness. So thank you very much, fellas. Thank you for the wonderful music. Thank you to the rest of the band, World War IX. I know Justin mentioned a little earlier in the episode where you all can go and find out their tunes. I hope you all do that. I hope you all track down some videos that they've made of live performances with the different singers they've had throughout time, because they always put on a great show. And I might suggest to you to go and listen to their song Hollywood, because that is by far my favorite song of theirs, and I adore it, even though it is nothing I support in their content of that song. I think it's a wonderful song, and so you should check it out. It's really fucking fun. Anyway, thank you to the guys for coming out to do this. Make sure you go get that new comic book. Make sure you go get that new record. Listen to their new tunes. And if you're in New York City and you have an opportunity to see World War IX, or if you're anywhere else where World War IX is playing, or you can bring the band to you, I strongly encourage you to do it. You will have a great time, and you will meet some incredible ambassadors of everything that punk should be in New York City. Well, almost everything. They don't talk enough politics for my taste, but I guess I'm a piece of shit. I feel like we established that pretty well throughout the episode, so I don't really feel like compelled to go neck deep into that again, but whatever. I guess I did anyway. Anyway, there's some other things going on. I want to mention a couple other things before we wrap this episode up. All Torn Up just released a brand new 7-inch record called Wake. The record is only 4 songs long, but it's really great tunes. I'm really proud of it. I think we did a great job on it. We recorded it with Pete from the Bouncing Souls out in his studio in New Jersey. He did a fantastic job not only recording us, but mixing us. I think the content and the music is really of the moment that we're in, like socially and politically here in the world, in the state of the world today. And I think the sound and the brutality of just like fucking tunes that we put out are really, you know, it's like this eclectic sound that All Torn Up is. I think people are going to dig it. So please go check out those tunes. Wake just got released. We just got the vinyl in literally like 2 days ago. And you can order that on our Bandcamp page, or you can go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There's a merch section on dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. You can get that record on that page. You can also get a bunch of other All Torn Up merch that we have for sale. If you have been waiting to get an All Torn Up t-shirt, I'm not sure we're going to be making those same designs again. I'm getting a bunch of new artistic ideas in me. So I think we're going to be making some other ideas in the very near future. So if you dig those All Torn Up shirts, that Borders Kill t-shirt and Kill Borders, or if you dig that the old school symbol that we've been putting out for a long time, please make sure that you go get that right away, because we might sell out of those t-shirts in a lot of sizes. I'm not sure we're ever gonna reissue those. Go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There's a merch section on that page in the upper right corner. There's a ton of stuff on there. Cop Out did a bunch of other recordings with Pete from the Bouncing Souls. We have a split record with some of those recordings that we put out with a band called Ground Score. You can get that record at that merch section as well. You can get there's also a split we did with Skullcaster did with Escape from the Zoo from Texas, which is Days and Days, Jesse from Days and Days side band, or his other band. I don't think I should call it a side band because it's equal importance to him and to everybody in the world. Escape from the Zoo and Skullcaster put out this great split not terribly long ago. You can get all three of those records, those two splits and the 7-inch that All Torn Up just put out. You can get them all together if you go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com and check out that merch section. Please, not only does it help the bands, because the money from the bands, the money that we get, almost all of it goes to the bands, but it also helps me out because it helps support some of the stuff that we do here at Dispatches, and it just shows me that you still care about the stuff that we're doing. So go to the Dispatches page, go to the merch section. If you are so inclined, if you are in a position where you have a little bit of money you can be giving to this podcast, we are trying to do more regular podcasts. So it does take some time, it does take some energy, and it would be a huge help if people would go and also hit that donation button on the Dispatchers in the Underground page. We have a couple of supporters who've been doing a lot of hard work in raising money for us, and I really appreciate that. I want to say thank you to G-Fresh and Lauren and Gabe for all of their donations, and Casey for their donations and their time and their effort in helping Dispatch from the Underground become a little more successful financially and organizationally. I really appreciate everything you guys are doing for us. So thank you very much, Casey and Gabe, G-Fresh and Lauren. Appreciate all that. But please go there. If you have a little bit of disposable income, if you know someone who can, even $5 a month would be a huge help to us. We don't have an advertising budget. I would like to eventually get one so we can let people know more about this podcast. But if you're not in a position, you can't do that, I understand. Or if you want something, you can go get the merch, and that money is still supporting us. You can always share this podcast if you dig what we did here today. Share this podcast, let other people know about it, and that is a huge help too. Or leave a rating. It takes no effort or energy. Leave a rating on whatever device you listen to this podcast on, telling people how much you dig it and a little bit of what you dig about it. And that's a huge help to us too. So tons of ways you could support this podcast, tons of ways you can get involved. Hopefully people are also out there making some tunes. We've had some people be submitting music to us here at Dispatches. I love that. Please continue to do that. I love hearing about new bands, especially because we get to go all around the country and meet people. And so if you listen to this podcast or if you're in a band, let me know about what you're doing. You can hit me up at Instagram at Joey Steele, Steele like the metal, NYC. Send me a message or whatever. Or you can holler at me on Facebook. Just send a message to Dispatches from the Underground. Or, you know, you could just hit me up on email, dftunderground@gmail.com. Any of those are great ways to stay in touch. And we have a lot of new episodes coming up. We're going to be doing a lot more in the very near future. We still have an incredible podcast that we're going to be airing, an interview we did with Brad Logan that we're going to be airing in the very near future. So make sure you stay tuned. Hit that subscribe button and whatever podcast device you listen to Dispatches from the Underground so you do not miss any upcoming episodes. Make sure you keep refreshing it. I'm going to leave you with some tunes before we get out of here. I hope you all dig it. And until the next time, I hope you all get down. I want to play another tune here from a band that just released some tunes on their Bandcamp page. This is a band called Axolotl here from New York City. They're from Brooklyn. They just released these tunes February 2nd, 2020. So these songs are like barely a month old, a little over a month old. They're fantastic. They're a wonderful band. If you want to know what the spirit of New York City is in the punk scene, it's imbibed in this band, an incredible Latino punk band here in New York City. Axolotl, you can go to their Bandcamp page, axolotlny.bandcamp.com. That's axolotlny.bandcamp.com. I may be pronouncing the name of their band wrong. But, you know, either way, they're a fantastic band. You're going to love the fucking tunes. Just released hot off the presses. Here is Axolotl from New York City. Get down. I'm going to end this episode with a band from Poughkeepsie, New York, which is a little bit outside of New York City proper, but they are actively involved here in the New York City punk scene. Mike is very involved in Punk Island. He's an organizer. Mike and Phil from this band run a stage at Punk Island. They're incredible musicians. They're wonderful people. I love everything they're doing on their stage. They used to be in a band called Exit 17 with a good friend, James, who sadly passed away, and they run a stage partially in honor of James. And they have a new band. It's called RBNX. It's a wonderful band with great recordings. I strongly encourage people to check out RBNX. Played with them a few times, and I really dig their stage show, but I just think that their recordings are fantastic and their music is great, and they're great guys. And honestly, on an episode where we've been talking to World War IX, not only about community, but also they have almost every single song they've ever made about drinking, I feel like it makes a lot of sense to be ending the episode with this band, which is very much about community, and a song they have, which I think is about drinking from what I can tell. It's called Little Jack Daniels, and it is on their Bandcamp page, rbnx.bandcamp.com. This is a great band. I hope you all dig it. I don't support anyone drinking, because I'm sober and I think everyone else should be sober and I'm a piece of shit and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there are interesting songs about drinking and I guess it's part of punk. I don't know. I don't really understand that part of it. Either way, here's a sweet fucking tune from RBNX from near here in New York City. And again, organizers in Punk Island, you can email punkisland@punkisland13@gmail.com and talk to Mike about getting your band on their stage. So here's RBNX with Little Jack Daniels. Get down.
You check me out, I get in your face, doing everything and I can to irritate everyone in this place. I've been drinking all week. I'm a Yorkshire Terrier.